Well,
Wow.
what is this place?
Is the place we can describe?
It's a bit confusing,
Yeah, it is.
but I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's light.
Pretty
We have
comfortable.
some plants.
Well, hi and welcome.
To this brand new season of Aerocode Coffee.
Yes, season two.
Season two.
But
We upped the production.
did we?
We upped our lives. No, we didn't.
Well, we have had some movement, some
Progress.
progress.
Yeah.
Yes. I hope it's for the better.
It should be right.
It does look better,
It does look better.
doesn't
Yeah.
it? It looks
Well,
better.
I mean, video-wise, we haven't changed a lot.
No, the quality of the hardware isn't different,
Yeah.
but we did upgrade the environment, the set, as you may call it in the professional scene.
Yeah, we have an official set right now.
Yeah,
We don't.
no. So,
But
but yeah.
yeah, wow. It has been like 2, 3 months or something like
Yeah,
that.
probably something like that.
Yeah, so we've moved to an office.
It's the Straksat office.
Yeah, we'll link them in the descriptions, I guess.
But yeah, it's a cool, kind of like cozy office in Rotterdam.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of wood, a lot of like the building is super old.
Yeah,
It's
it was pre-bombing, I guess.
yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It's an old distillery.
Yeah.
The what's it?
Was
It's
it
gin.
no, was it gin?
It's like in Dutch they call it jenever.
Yeah, it's a Dutch drink, right?
It's a type of gin, a Dutch type of gin.
Dutch type of gin.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not Jennifer though.
Jennifer.
That's not how you
For now,
translate it.
yeah, I
No,
guess.
it's like jenever, but yeah, we wanted to just keep the same kind of pacing, same kind of style, I think,
Yeah,
mostly.
mostly. We'll change it up maybe with guests
Yeah.
in the future.
I feel like this pillow is in the way.
Wow, poor
Should it be
pillow.
on this side? Is that better?
How is that better?
I don't know. Like, it was in front of my legs before.
Okay.
Okay. Maybe this is
But
better.
yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens. I don't know how we're going to incorporate a guest in here, but
Yeah.
we'll find a way to.
We do have more space right now, so.
Yeah, so we might switch it up a bit with the locations and stuff and maybe put a couch here or whatever. I don't know.
But so far, so good.
Yeah.
It's really comfy. We finally got out of that small little cramped area.
Yeah, just the only
Yeah.
dark room with some, like, how to call it, shitty lighting and stuff
Yeah.
like that. So,
It always felt like an interrogation.
and the sound was also not the greatest, but.
Is it better here?
Well, we have a bit of an echo, I guess, and we
Yeah.
have more distance from the mic, so it's a bit lower, muffled, whatever. But
We'll see.
yeah, we'll find a way to make it work. We might switch mics. I don't
Yeah.
know. We'll see what happens.
But yeah, I kind of like this place. It's really like apart from it being cozy, it's very relaxing somehow.
Yeah.
Like everything is except for some sounds you might hear right
Yeah,
now.
there's a plane.
Yeah. It's very quiet compared to
That's
a lot
our
of
plane.
areas. Wait, that's our plane?
Yeah, we jumped out.
Why is it turning back?
I don't know. Maybe it's coming back for us.
But yeah. But we just basically want to talk about the same things, right? Like still about coding,
Yeah.
about programming, maybe some.
Life, food.
Yeah. And so at this office, we're still freelancers.
Yeah.
And we are with a bunch of other people, a team of
A
designers.
bunch of other people.
Yeah, like we're not alone at this office.
Yeah, it's true.
It's not our office where we
Yeah.
are.
We
Yeah.
like officially we hire a desk from an
We
agency.
rented a desk.
We rent a desk,
Yeah.
yes. Yeah, we rent a
Because
desk space.
exactly.
Yeah, from an agency, a digital agency. But I mean we share the same room and we have all the like how do you call it? Facilities.
Amenities.
Sure.
Amenities, right?
Sure.
Is that the word?
I don't know. I mean,
But
it sounds like something you get in a plane as a snack,
well, that's
amenities.
what we have here. We're getting some
Just
snacks.
a little bag of nuts. I don't know.
So we're sharing the space with a design team,
Yeah.
and it's kind of funny because they keep reminding me that they're also having to struggle with the same thing that we as developers do.
Yeah. I mean, they also came from a freelance background. And they kind of started the company together Did they start it together with it's like a freelance based company?
I think they did in the first year and a half.
Yeah.
They started out not being like an official company with multiple people.
Yeah.
So they were, as you say it in Dutch, a ZZP. They were both ZZP'ers. So like,
yeah, they're both solo freelancers, yeah. But they take on like projects and they do them together or something like that.
Yeah.
And now they're officially like a company.
Yeah. I think they've been a company for a while and.
Yeah, a few years.
The thing that's just funny to me is that in the end, they struggle the same ways as we do.
Yeah.
Like even apart from them having the same like route to where they are now.
Yeah.
Compared, like they're pretty similar. Their lives have been pretty similar. If you kind of take some.
I mean, yeah, of course there are some differences in like education and stuff like that. Yeah. But yeah.
But in the end, like if they get a client, and they want to, you know, make the client happy.
Mm.
They want to just deliver the best product they want.
Yeah.
They can. They will have to communicate in a specific way and stuff that, to me, sounds very similar to how we would do things.
Yeah, sure.
And they have the same kind of, like, almost like technical struggles with, like...
Yeah, technical struggles, but also, like, their way of thinking, their mentality and stuff is also kind of the same.
Yeah.
It's nice to have found some people who are like-minded a bit. And
I mean, I wonder... Like
they like design a lot. They love design and they want to deliver good design. That's always something that was really important for us, right?
Yeah. I just wonder if that's the case because they're also in the web environment. Like if they're in a different design environment, like not talking about like physical products, but...
Okay. Not print, but you mean just...
I don't know. Like there's a lot of more design.
Yeah, of course.
Like for example... software design that's not web-based.
Yeah, okay.
I wonder if they have the same mentality and technical problems. Maybe that's just...
I mean, probably some comparable stuff, but not exactly the same, I guess. Mm.
Or is it maybe just because our trade is the like web. Digital.
Yeah.
No, I'm just like digital. And digital always has the same kind of issues.
It's really... Yeah, I don't know. Is digital... I think it's too broad to put everything on the digital and say that there's a problem in digital itself.
I don't know. Maybe like, okay, so say, for example, like the old kind of jobs, the jobs that are traditional, very physical-based, labor-intensive.
Like a baker.
A painter or whatever. Like anything that you would hire someone for, you would physically know what you're getting. Now, you can somehow... guess what kind of effort is put into it.
Yeah.
And I feel like in digital production, there's a lot of mystery for a lot of clients.
Well, that's why I think there's a difference though between digital and web, because it's just web is kind of a luxury product for most people still.
They consider it a luxury product. Yeah.
So it doesn't have the same like importance as something else. And I mean, digital can be really important, but just the web itself is not always that. It's just one platform or one way to interact with something you know from your company. So a website.
I don't know. Like, I would
just like digital can be like a machine, an ATM machine, for example. That's digital, right?
Sure.
That's really important. It can be really important, but a website is just. It's bonus, it's extra.
I don't know.
Not always.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, there are a lot of companies who really depend on a good website. I mean, we make websites. Mm-hmm. It's important, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, if you think about digital, if you want to, like, make a separation between digital, like, traditional digital things that are more hardware-based and more software, like, as a service-based things. Like, so websites, you can see that as a service that a company offers for their clients to get more information or to contact them in a specific way.
Yeah.
Like, traditionally, if you would have an account at a company, like, as a client, you would have an account, I don't know, at a bank. You would have to physically go there and then check your balance and stuff like that.
Yeah, you have to ask for your balance and,
And now they offer that service on the web.
Yeah, true.
So to me, the web is more than just a luxury. It's like they're actually moving parts of the labor
mm.
to something that's automated. And I think if we think about it that way, it's still like the reason that digital products came into play was because digitally you can have a lot more control over what physically happens in real life.
Yeah.
Because you can actually pre-program things, automate things.
It's just, I have a weird feeling that it's really slow with adopting still digital stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like, you still have to use like a bank that's still like a physical object you have to use to do something that's digital.
Yeah. Well, it's and getting...
It feels like we're really slow with... I mean, it's getting there. It's just, it takes for some reason really long time to get further. And there's still a lot of countries where they don't even use like digital or how do you call it? Like contactless payments and stuff like that. And I'm just, why? How is this?
Yeah, I think that like, okay, a bank might be a bit, it's a very big
topic. Yeah, and of course, I think also those kind of companies are really slow with adopting anyway. Yeah. Just
it's a huge process to actually
like
get...
Instant payments, for example, that's still something that's relatively new, even though it's just a transfer of a, you know, of some money. It shouldn't be that hard, I guess.
Yeah, and I think, honestly, I think they're doing an okay job at adopting. It's just...
I kind of wish it would go a bit quicker.
Relatively, compared to like web technology, because we're kind of privileged as web developers. We have a specific, like everything's fast. Any change, like in 10 years, a lot has changed.
Yeah.
And in a lot of other digital branches, like for example, software development, but also automation, that might be a whole branch by itself.
Yeah.
I think if you compare it to that, it kind of makes sense because our development is based on very software, like everything is in software. We're not limited by hardware and we're not limited by very complex regulations. And
yeah, so on the one hand, we are kind of spoiled that we
get to get the
cutting edge of technology a lot of times.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's always a kind of a struggle that you have to deal with all that new stuff and you have to adopt so quickly. And it's just a constant pressure of going for... Maybe that's the reason why I'm impatient with like stuff like a bank, for example.
Yeah, I think...
It takes too long, but I think that's also... I'm used to being quickly able to adopt something new or something.
I think we as web developers have a kind of a skewed image of how digital
how it should be, I guess, or how it is,
how easy it can be.
Yeah.
And to us, everything should be easy, and why wouldn't it be easy? But a lot of digital changes are based on how people see things, but also how things get regulated on a national or international level, where there's so much more to do, like not even the documentation you have to think of it, but also the politics around it.
We're like living in our own little web environment. If we make a website, we can just, it's our own like domain, and we can, it's our own host, and we can do whatever we want inside of that like playground. But there are no, there are not a lot of rules you have to follow to do.
You can do a lot of illegal things until you get caught.
Of course.
So like that's something that other companies, they have to be sure they're not doing something illegal.
Yeah.
And we can just do whatever we want until we get caught. That's a mindset that's very strange, actually, compared to a lot of other...
I mean, things. And also, like, the bigger the company gets, the more it has to deal with all those rules and regulations. And okay.
So in the end, I think, like, if I see a big company making this the huge step for them to switch to a web environment for their services or part of their business, I actually think that takes a lot of bravery from the company and the CEO, because they're not used to it.
It's just kind of annoying that, like, for example, Apple Pay in the Netherlands, it's slowly coming because one of the banks decided to push through and do it.
Which was ING?
Yeah, ING, yeah. Okay. Yeah, but it's kind of weird because all the other banks were like, nah, we're not going to do it. Maybe in a few years.
Yeah.
And because no one will use it. Mm-hmm. That's what they said. What the fuck? So now one bank pushed it and they didn't really like release numbers or something, but they said they had a huge amount of users are using it already now. And now all the other banks are saying, we're going to do it really, really soon.
Yeah. I mean,
it's just why
it takes one company to be brave to push the others.
I mean, that's just kind of stupid, right?
I mean, yes and no. It's a big risk. It's a lot of investment money you have to put into some new technology.
Well, so the fun thing is that a lot of clients left the banks that don't offer Apple Pay right now.
Yeah,
I mean, now they lose money on having to do Apple Pay still. Yeah. And also lose people because they didn't implement it sooner.
There you go. That's bad business.
Yeah. And it's just, I'm kind of curious what goes on in those people's minds.
I honestly don't think that that's something like they considered technology-wise, I think they would do it anyway. But it's like investment-wise, they think, is it worth it? If we lose these people, like these clients, is it still worth it?
It's just always trying to stay on the edge of what's available and what's possible keeps people invested in your company. If you like,
I would say so.
If you're like a scruffy old bank that, I mean, if you're a bank that don't even offer like cards, for example, and you only can pay with cash, you can only get some money from an ATM and that's it. That's how you have to pay. No one's got to stay with a bank, bro.
Very little, but like there's still people who would say, yeah, cards are unsafe.
Of course. You always have those people.
There's always like some kind of client that you can attract with your lack of technology or lack of development. Mm. Because I think development also scares people, and especially the company itself. It's, again, a big investment. I think seeing that as...
It's also a gamble.
Yeah, it's a risk. Yeah. Like if you think that always going... like getting the cutting edge technology in-house and developing for it. If you think that's always a good idea, that's not.
It's not a guarantee that it will work out in the end. Yeah, true.
So
we have to take a little break.
Do we?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll be right back.
Coffee?
And we're back.
Hi, guys.
Yeah.
So what were we talking about?
Something about a bank, right?
So... how many bank accounts do you have?
Accounts?
Yeah.
I have...
I'm just like, at how many banks do you have an account?
Oh, two.
Okay.
Well, I had three, but now it's two.
But so, except from being rich, why would you have multiple accounts?
Okay, so like my first bank account that was decided by my parents.
Uh-huh.
They opened it for me. And,
when you were young, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, and eventually I kind of like picked another bank and then switched and whatever. Well, I still have an account with my first bank, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I had two bank accounts when I was young. My parents made two.
Okay.
So, I don't know. But now,
at the same bank, though?
No, two different banks.
Okay.
Yeah, because, I mean, they were divorced, right?
Oh.
So they both had like their own little way to,
That's interesting, I guess.
Yeah. But, okay, so now I have two different bank companies.
Mm-hmm.
So I have Rabobank and I have Knab.
Mm.
And I use one of them for company payments and the other one is like private. Yeah.
So for your own freelance company, you have... one specific account at a different
bank. But at that other bank where my company accounts, I also have a personal account because it's easier to transfer between same accounts or it was easy to.
So you have two accounts at one bank?
Yeah. So I have I have two accounts at one bank, like my private bank, and I also have a credit card at the company. So that's three cards.
Okay.
And then on the other bank, I have two cards. So I have in total five different cards I can pay with.
That's a lot of cards.
It's a lot of cards, yeah.
So yeah, I can imagine you being kind of annoyed with the amount of cards you have. Or
yeah, I mean, I really wish for just being able to open an app or something or my phone and just pay it that way because I have always five cards in my like
wallet.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
Yeah, I mean, we're still limited by the physical card.
Yeah.
Of a bank to pay in the Netherlands.
I mean, I wouldn't even mind if it was one card has all the bank accounts.
Multiple chips in one card. Yeah.
But I mean, the best would be just to pay wireless or with my phone or something.
Mm. Yeah. What if you could just swipe your phone like at an ATM or something or like a...
what? Just swipe?
Swipe your phone.
Oh,
to,
yeah.
To check, like to actually pay.
Yeah, I mean, just want to hold
that's Apple Pay, right?
Yeah, exactly. I just want to hold my phone next to the machine and then pay. Yeah.
And it's based on RFID technology, I think? Or what is it based on?
RF, yeah, no, RF, what was it called again? NFC, I think.
Oh, is it NFC?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, RFID, that's not for in a phone, right? That's more like for little physical chips.
Yeah, those little, like, I call it those strips. Mm-hmm.
What's near field
communication?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, we know our thing.
Ooh.
But,
but yeah. And also the Apple Watch has the NFC. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so I'm waiting for that to happen.
It's kind of funny because NFC existed for a while, like since I think 12 years or something. It's been in some phones.
Yeah.
And
well, it's mainly used for a lot of different stuff, right? And there was a while where they're trying to push like the whole go to a store and being able to scan like tags or something of of like items and get information about them, and that never really took off. So
yeah, I think even some companies try to, you know, those self-checkout things, like you can have these little like these machines you can check out with. They can scan the bar.
Yeah,
the barcode.
Yeah, it's like a this is a barcode scanner, I guess, with a display.
Yeah,
yeah,
but they.
That's still, you still have to scan a barcode, though.
Yeah, it makes no sense. Why? Like that's a lot.
Well, that's because like the whole like the checkout is still with barcodes at most stores, like grocery stores.
But the barcode has a number.
Yeah.
So you can use that number instead of the code, the physical lines.
Yeah, but then you have to enter codes every time.
No, that's what I mean. Like, what if you make it have a chip at every product?
Yeah, that would be better.
So you can just put your phone close to it.
Yeah.
And then it would show up on your screen and the amount in.
Like clothing and stuff like that also have those, like, how do you call it? Those pads or those, like, stickers that you just for stealing whatever.
Yeah. It's like for security. They have these magnetic strips.
They're really simple, though. I mean, they only just activate if they aren't deactivated. Yeah. And if you, like, exit the company or something, or the, how do you call it, the store.
Mm-hmm.
So they really... They don't contain any information, I think. It's just it's a magnetic pad or something.
Yeah, I think it's just basically something that will trigger the alarm system at the exit of a store. So it's like it's a magnetic strip which contains a specific type of like something that gets triggered, like a tiny chip.
I haven't really like checked how it works, but I'm interested.
There's multiple ones. Like
the multiple ways, right?
Yeah. I've seen some that are actually like an actual chip. When you exit the store, there's these gates kind of at your left and your right, and whatever passes through there gets a little, there's like an electric field in there, so it can trigger any kind of very like light machinery. So they have these stickers, they stick onto, I don't know, on the bottom left or something of a product, like inside the shirt or something. And whenever that gets into that field, it like wakes up, and then it can probably send a signal. That's like the more advanced version. And the simpler versions are like magnetic based.
I don't know, because with a checkout, they kind of demagnetize it, I think.
Yeah.
And then you can pass through without it going off. But I don't know how it works.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting and cool.
But yeah, it would be so nice just being able to just walk through like those gates or whatever, or just going into like public transportation and not being having to think about your cars and you know, it's
on one hand it's really nice if the machines are you can trust the machines, like a lot of people would still say I want to be in control of how much I pay and I want to see when I paid something.
Yeah, but those people also struggle using those cards at those gates.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of times it's people who are like,
but those are still clients.
It's not scanning and whatever.
They're still clients of a big company. So how do you please those?
You can't. Well, if you go back to like paper cards, then they're happy.
Really?
And there's one guy who has to like check it manually if you're checked in or whatever. But
I honestly think there is a way to please those people, because in the end, it's still a service because like what they want is not actually. Most people don't want to do more things to be in control.
Yeah,
they are still lazy in the end. So they kind of want to automate that in a specific way.
Yeah.
But they still want to be in control. So if you can actually make it visible to them how you, like how much you've spent and how you're spending your money, I think it can help. So like the first OV chip card, when it first came out, people were unsure how much they were spending because you only get to see your balance when you check out.
Yeah.
And it was kind of hard to for a lot of people to imagine how it works, because they would pay up front before with a paper ticket. They would pay up front before they travel. Right?
Why is that a problem, though?
It's not a problem. It's just, I'm just saying, like, people who have a specific, like, they want something specific from the service of a company. So they want to always be in control of their...
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. I think a lot of people are afraid to just trust a company and just, you know, let them do their thing. I mean, and I kind of get it. But also a lot of those people are those who, like, ban Google or don't have Facebook and say, like, oh, my privacy. And then you ask them, like, what do you have for privacy? What's your concern?
Yeah,
I don't want my data to be somewhere.
I mean, like, it's still part of their human right, I think.
Yeah, of course. And if that's your thing, if you care about all that stuff,
We should care about that stuff, because in the end, it's private.
In a certain way. But I mean, me as I have my own. I'm a freelancer. My stuff is already on the fucking street. Everyone can find my home address if they want to.
Sure.
And that's not something I want, but it's just. That's just how it is.
I know. And like, we should be happy that we're not being robbed every day or something.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is, I think people still want to believe there is some form of privacy.
Yeah, but that's the thing, believe. They want the feeling that it's safe.
And I think we can give them that feeling if they are still in control.
Yeah, but that's what I don't like, because then there are companies who give you the feeling that there is, there are, you know, privacy checks or whatever, and they keep your data safe, but they are not. It's just the feeling that it's safe.
No, I don't think that's like, it's that black and white.
Okay.
I do honestly think that depending on the way you handle like your data as a company, you can guarantee some things. Like,
yeah.
You can guarantee that your data is not going to be visible to anyone who wants to access to it. But maybe, like, if the government has an issue with you, they can probably file, you know, a request to see your data at a company.
Yeah.
Something like that. If they, like, specifically tell that at, like, the contract you're signing when you buy or rent something from a company. I mean, I would prefer that than a company that doesn't say anything about it. And then you don't even know what's happening, like when you're, where is your data stored or what's happening? So I honestly do think that having like, it's a form of respecting your clients, I think, in the end.
Like, well, it's also like the right thing to do.
Yeah, like, but I ethically think that we should still have more, like we should strive to get more private things separate from our like professional life and from our, how do you call it, like our web life and our company life. So when we are sharing our bank account, or for example, I have an account at the transportation company, NS. I wouldn't want other companies to know how I'm traveling, just because the idea of a company knowing how I spend my time and where I'm spending my time, like I've never given that information away. They shouldn't have access to it in the first place.
Yeah. So I mean, just me personally, I don't really care if other companies know. What I do care about is if, like,
they abuse it.
Private people know that kind of stuff.
But that's the thing. In the end, there's some person who can.
Of course, there's always some person who. Yeah. I mean, someone who works at a company that has access to your data and your files. But still, that's. Like, if I call to like a service center or whatever, and I have to, you know, request like help or customer support, whatever, they see all my information, and it's just a trust thing, you know. You have to trust them that they don't do anything weird with that information.
But
it's just
like, to me, there's still a separation between like a company that, for example, does my insurance. That company shouldn't see where I'm spending my time, because I know that's something that they will abuse.
I mean, it has also like advantages, right? Because there are some like car insurance companies that track your like speed and all that kind of stuff, just to lower your price of your insurance.
It can be beneficial
if you want to, of course.
But to me, it's to me like having your information being able to be accessed to by companies other than the company you're sending your data to, or people. Like the thing is, I want them to lock it down.
Okay.
In the end, I don't mind if the company I'm using their services from, if that company has access to my data. I mean, it makes sense if they can see what I'm doing there. Especially if there's like technical difficulties or something.
Yeah, of course. I mean, there's always some information necessary to also make it work or help in this case.
Yeah, but I still would want a separation between company A and B. If there is anything that A can use from B, the information from B, and if there's a company B can use A.
If A's in the end it helps me as a user, I don't mind it.
I still want to be in control.
I have to know that it's happening, though.
Yeah.
But I don't mind them using something.
That's the thing. A lot of times they use it without you knowing.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Okay.
And so you're not in control anymore of how your information's being
like shared or shared exactly between companies. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm against actually, because if I'm trusting one company with that type of information.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you trust all the other companies as well, right?
Especially because the use case with one company is completely different than the use case with the other company.
Yeah, of course. So
I think personally, it might have some benefits, but I would want to be in control. I would want to like give permission for company B to be able to see what's at company A.
Yeah.
And I think being very clear about that to your clients and making that something. Like on the web, you can actually authorize one account or one website to have access to that account.
Yeah.
You can see what that access will entail. Like how many, like can they see your email address? Can they see your friends? Can they see this? Can they see that? You can specifically.
Yeah, it also disable stuff that you don't want to share.
Sometimes, like now on the phones with apps, if you install them, you can see the first time you start them up, or maybe before that, you can see what they will access, and you can also block an app to access that information even afterward.
Yeah.
Like if you're not happy anymore, you can just block it.
Yeah, it's nice.
And something like that would be really great for a lot of companies, especially since they're moving to a digital service. If they take into account that, sure, it might be comfortable for you as a company to be accessing all their information, it's not a good idea, I think.
Yeah.
For a lot of people to, a lot of people will trust you more if you are more clear and give them some form of control to actually dial up or down the information they share with you.
Yeah.
And that's something, I personally think privacy is something that might be overrated. And I think in the end, I don't have anything to hide either.
Yeah, I mean, of course, in a certain way.
Yeah.
A certain level or something, amount.
Mm-hmm. But I still do think as humans, we deserve some form of privacy and control over our own information.
Mm-hmm.
It's your identity. Do you want that to be shared with that company? It's up to you.
Yeah, so what do you guys think about this privacy and how it's shared between companies and...
Yeah. Yeah, are you even concerned about privacy? Like, what company have you dealt with that had a really good privacy stand?
Yeah.
Which position did they take? And which company have you had experience with that had a bad way of dealing with your privacy? And what happened then? Like, that's cool.
If you was there leaked data? Have you had some issues with identity theft or something?
Mm-hmm. It's kind of it's not something I concern myself with a lot.
Well, I think it's also because I have never had that issue. I haven't had my information stolen or something. So for me, it's easy to say, I don't care, you know. But how is it for people who lost their whole life or partially lost their life because of this kind of stuff?
It can escalate really quickly.
Yeah, it can go horribly wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, we thank you for... this first episode.
Yeah. If you watched us through the video, I hope you like the new set.
Yeah.
If you listen to us through the podcast audio.
Thank you for listening.
And we hope it sounds okay.
We'll always improve.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, do let us know. And if you have any questions or maybe a suggestion for a next episode,
yeah,
let
just
us know.
Leave it in the comments, or you know, you can tweet us.
Ooh, tweet us at Kersief.
I'll show the thingy here.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait,
this here.
Is it here?
Yeah.
Can I touch it?
Maybe. You broke it.
Crap. Well, thanks again, and I'll see you guys later. Will you see them later?
Probably.
Okay.
Bye.